Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Every Nation New Jersey, God bless you. Happy New Year to you. I've got to ask a question even before we get going. How many of you have broken your New Year's resolution already, right? 3 days into it. Did you know on average that you'll keep your New Year's resolution until the second Friday in January? Wow, right? But listen, I hope you have your cup of joe ready to go. You have your Bible. I'm really excited to share a message with you. Today, we're going to just attempt this simple task of answering this question. Why do you exist? What's the purpose of your life? And listen, we're going to take the next several months and answer that question. But before we get into the word here this morning, I have a couple reminders for you that I want to remind you that we're approaching our week of prayer and fasting, January 11th through the 15th. And we have these prayer and fasting guides that are available to you. You can receive one here at the church if you'd like a hard copy. Or you can go to our website and download the digital version. And we've just called this time of prayer and fasting, Awesome God. And in that booklet, we have little Bible studies. I believe as well, we'll make available to you little virtual Bible studies that'll be on our Facebook feed throughout the week. We're going to have times of prayer in the morning and in the evening together each day of that week. Of January 11th through the 15th. And so won't you join us and join the other Every Nation churches from around the globe in a time to pray and fast as we focus on 2021 and lay it at the feet of the Lord. And then as well, I just want to take up our tithe and offering here this morning. And I just want to do one simple thing, and that is this. Do you know that God is worthy of your first? He just is. He says we're to seek first the King and His kingdom. That He says this, that we're to be His first love, and also we're to present. We give Him the first of our week, don't we? That's why church is on Sundays. We want to give Him the first of our day, and so I know I do my prayer and Bible time in the morning. I figure if I can win the morning, I'll win the rest of the day. As I spend time with the Lord. We do the first of our year by spending it in prayer and fasting. Why? Because the first, it belongs to the Lord. And in the same way that the tithe, we believe that the first tenth of all our increase, it belongs to Jesus. And so that's what this moment is about. We give the tithe, the first tenth, back to Him, and we trust that God will richly bless the rest. And so before I give you the different ways you can give, I also would like to remind us of that our Multiply financial giving campaign. We'll leave the campaign open through January 11th. And so listen, you still have time to get involved and to give. Listen, you want to be a part of making a difference in the life of New City Kids and as well our church, Every Nation New Jersey, as we are making an impact in the world. And so, listen, remember, there's three ways you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. If you're giving to the Multiply campaign, there'll actually be a section in the memo whereby you can do that. Or you can go to PushPay. My family and I give this way, and it's a real simple and convenient way to give. You just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, or you can mail in your gift or offering to our address right here at 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And as always, I'm believing God will richly bless you as you give. And so without further ado, what do you say we get into the Bible? We crack this Bible open for the first time here in January. And so I don't think I'm overstating this, but every time you approach a new year, that there's this optimism that bubbles up in our heart, this hope that maybe next year is going to be better. And listen, I pray that and believe that for you. Man, I pray that you are a success in 2021. But more than being a success, I pray that your life is significant. Listen, I believe it's not that difficult to be successful. A little hard work, maybe a few positive thinking manuals, and you can live a successful life. But are you living a significant life? Do you know that in Psalm 139, the psalmist, he says this, that we were formed and fashioned in our mother's womb by Almighty God, that he's given us gifts, skills, talents, and with that, he has a purpose for our life. He says that all our days were written in God's book, in his story. You and I get to play a part. And so when the eternity of God aligns with the destiny of man, it becomes this powerful force called significance. And listen, it's tough to describe when you're living a significant life, except it's something you can just feel and know it. When that alignment takes place, eternity and destiny, you feel the sense of soul satisfaction. And I want you to live a significant life. Many of us are familiar with the iconic Olympic swimmer, Michael Phelps. He's the most decorated Olympic medalist that has ever been. But having said all that, after the London Games, after another series of winning medals, that afterwards something was missing and something was lacking from Michael Phelps's life, and he began to get depressed. He started to fall into despair. He just turned to drugs and alcohol to try and numb the pain. But by the grace of God, there was a friend in Michael Phelps' life. It was Hall of Fame linebacker Ray Lewis. Not only is Ray Lewis a Hall of Fame NFL football player, but he's also an outspoken follower of Jesus Christ. And he pulled his friend Michael Phelps aside and he told him this. He says, you need to get yourself into rehab. And he says, you need to read this book. And he gave him the book by Pastor Rick Warren called The Purpose Driven Life. And as Phelps began to read the book, it started to connect the dots for him. Until suddenly, now when he, after reading the book, he says this, he realizes it's not what he does, but it's who he does it for that makes all the difference. See, he was tapping into a life of significance, and God wants you to live a significant life. And so you were created for a purpose. And I'm just going to just take all the suspense out of it, and I'm going to give you the 3 points. The 3 things that God has designed you to do to live a significant life, the purpose for your life. And here they are, that you've been created to love God, to love people, and to live on a mission. And listen, we're going to take the next 3 months. This series is going to take us all the way till Easter. And we're just calling this the Purpose Trilogy of loving God, loving people, and living on mission. And so let's take a brief look at it this morning. Our text this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. And this quite possibly is the last teaching that Jesus will give before he goes to the cross. So you can imagine what he's about to say is extremely important. And he's going to use these 3 parables, these stories, to help illustrate a point of what we're supposed to do as we await Jesus' return back to earth, or in other words, our purpose until he comes back. And so we'll read about these 3 stories, this purpose trilogy, if you will, and we're going to read about the return of the bridegroom and the return of the master, and then lastly, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And each of these stories is going to illustrate that we are to love God, love people, and live on mission. So let's look at the first parable. Listen, chapter 25 is far too long for us to read here on a Sunday morning. So for time's sake, I'll narrate it and we'll jump around in our Bible still. But the parable of the 10 virgins is the first story. It's found in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And but before you can understand the parable of the 10 virgins, you need to understand the story of Michael and Hannah. And so I read this story years ago. It was in Reader's Digest and also Chicken Soup for the Soul. And so the story goes like this. Actually, there was a man who found a tattered, beaten up wallet on the side of a sidewalk. And I believe we have an image of the actual wallet. And inside of that wallet was $3, and as well an envelope with a letter inside. And this letter was extremely, extremely old. We would find out later that the letter was 60 years old. And you could hardly read all of the writing, but you could tell it was a love letter. And it was written by Hannah to a young boy by the name of Michael. And unfortunately, it was a Dear John letter. It was one saying that her mother was not allowing her to see him anymore. And though she loved him more than life itself, that they were no longer going to be able to be together. Love, Hannah. And so the guy who found the wallet, he read the letter to find out maybe he could see a clue for whose wallet it was. And so he saw the address on the envelope, and he went to that address and asked if they knew somebody by the name of Hannah. And by chance, that they had bought the home from Hannah's parents some 30 years prior. And through a series of events, this man found out that Hannah was in a local nursing home. And so he called the home and saw that Hannah would be available later in the evening. And so he went to the nursing home, and he introduced himself to now an elderly Hannah. She was 76 years old. And he said, excuse me, miss, I found this wallet, and it was a letter, and I believe you wrote this letter. And the man gave the letter to Hannah, and as she began to read it, she began to shake, and she says, my Michael. She says, this was a letter to my beloved Michael. She said, he was very handsome. He looked like Sean Connery, you know. And so after doing this, he's like, oh, and she just expressed, she said, I never stopped loving him after all these years. And so he says, well, I'm trying to find him. And she says, if you ever find him, will you let him know that I still love him? And so he took the wallet and the letter. And as he was leaving, the security guard of the nursing home saw the wallet, and he immediately identified it. That's Mr. Goldstein's wallet. And he's like, what? He goes, yes, Mr. Goldstein loses his wallet all the time. He must have lost it walking outside of the nursery home. And so he goes, he actually is right here up on the eighth floor. And so the man and the security guard went up to the eighth floor. He saw Michael Goldstein, gave him the wallet. And he says, sir, I'm sorry, I read your letter. And he goes, oh, no. He says, you read the letter? And he goes, yes, and I'm sorry about Hannah. But he says, sir, would you like to meet her? And he says, I could meet her? Yes, I would love that. And so he goes, well, sir, she's right downstairs. And so they gathered the wallet and the letter, and he escorted Mr. Goldstein, Michael Goldstein, down to meet his beloved Hannah. And as they met and they embraced, they pulled two chairs up together and began to catch up on 60 years of relationship. And so that is an amazing story. Oh, did I mention too, 3 weeks later, the 76-year-old Hannah and the 79-year-old Michael Goldstein would become husband and wife. Now listen, that is a wedding story. And it's going to help us understand the parable of the 10 virgins. It's a wedding story that Jesus tells about 10 virgins in Matthew 25. When you think of these 10 virgins, think of bridesmaids or a wedding party. And so their job was, in the first century, what would happen is you would be betrothed to a husband and a wife. And what happened, the groom would go away to his father's house, and he would build a wing onto his father's house for he and his new bride. It's why when Jesus says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, because you and I are the bride of Christ. And so Jesus tells the story of the bridegroom that's gone away to prepare a place. And now it was the 10 virgins' job that when the bridegroom returned, that they were to light up the night with their lamps. And it says this, that of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. See, 5 brought extra oil for their lamps, and five brought no extra oil. And so when the time came for the bridegroom to come, that the five that didn't have enough oil, they had to go search for more oil, and they missed the coming of the bridegroom. When they returned, it says they knocked on the door for the wedding, and the bridegroom said this to them, these terrifying words, "I do not know you." And so here's what we can draw from this is, do you know that what Jesus is trying to express to us, that it's incumbent upon you and I as Christ followers, that we have to keep stirring a passionate, fiery love for Jesus Christ. Like while the bridegroom is gone, that we need to keep the oil in our hearts, a passionate love for Jesus. And in fact, the five foolish virgins, they said this, they said, "Hey, can we have some of your oil?" And the five wise virgins, they said, "No, you can't, because there won't be enough for us." And so here's what we can draw from that is listen, there's some things that I can't do for you as a pastor. These things, like, you are going to have to cultivate your relationship with Jesus Christ on your own. There's some things your connect group leader can't do for you. They can't cultivate your relationship with Jesus. There's something your parents can't do for you that you have to do for yourself. It's incumbent on you to keep the fire, the oil of your heart burning for Jesus Christ. I've shared this before. This drives me crazy. In the UK, that infidelity is no longer the number one reason for divorce. Do you remember what the new number one reason is? It's this, that men and women, they fell out of love, which is the most ridiculous, stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. Because if you've been in any kind of relationship that means anything to you, you know this, that it takes work, it takes discipline to pour in and keep your love relationship vibrant, and it's no different with the Lord. Many of you will be familiar that oil in the scriptures often refers to the Holy Spirit. And Paul, recognizing the importance of keeping the oil filled in our life and in our heart, in Ephesians chapter 5, notice what he says this in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20. Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." He says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine," but here it is, "for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And then how are we filled with the Spirit? Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, worshiping the Lord, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Here's the next thing, giving thanks always for everything. In other words, having a posture of gratitude for all God has done for you and for me, for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so these are ways that we're filled with the Holy Spirit in our times of worship and gratitude to the Lord. It stirs an affection for Jesus Christ. It keeps the fire going. And listen, the love of God is first and primary in the Purpose Trilogy, because it's the love of God, as that's cultivated, it out of the overflow of that love will lead to a love for people and living a life on mission. You got to do it out of the overflow. Jesus will say this, "To whom much is given," that if you've received freely, give freely. But if you've not received the love of God in your heart, you'll have nothing to give. George Mueller, I've shared his story before as well. And George Mueller was a man who planted orphanages throughout England. And he was a man who made a difference in loving people and made a difference with his life. And yet, here's what he said, the most important thing, if he was going to make a difference in people's life, is he had to do this, and I'm quoting, he says this, "The first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day is to have my soul happy in the Lord." Did you get that? Like Mueller is saying, I live this fruitful life, making a difference in others' lives. Why? Because I've learned to cultivate love for God. And out of that overflow, I can be a blessing to the world. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he'll say this. He says, I want to know Jesus. And that word for know, it's the word of an intimate knowing, like a husband knows a wife. It's the same word that Adam knew Eve and conceived Cain, right? And so that's a depth of intimate knowing. And Paul says, I want to know Jesus that way. And he says, don't confuse religious activity with a vibrant relationship with Jesus. Because he says this, he says, listen, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. According to the law, I was without blame or blemish. He says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee, all these different things. And he says this, if these things don't give me more of Jesus, he says it's all, he uses the Greek word skubala. It means it's all rubbish. It's all garbage, right? And so maybe the question you need to be asking yourself is this, as we approach 2021 and we're talking about your love relationship with God. Like, do you love God? Here's two questions I think you should consider. Is this, number one is this, what stirs your affections for Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? Like what just makes the, inflames your heart with a love for God? Is it reading the word? Is it prayer? Is it being out in nature? Is it solitude? Is it meditation? Like what is it that stirs your affection for Jesus? And you need to pour yourself into that in 2021. I think here's another good question is this. When will you make time to cultivate relationship with Jesus? And notice I said the word, when will you make time? Because you'll never find time. You can lose time and waste time, but you will never find time. Here's what you can do. You can make time. And I pray in 2021 that you're making time to love God well. Here's the second parable or story. It's the parable of the talents. And really, this is a picture of living our life on mission. It's found in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. And once again, we won't read it, but I'll recap it for us. And Paul's going to say this. It's that the love of God, it's going to compel him onto mission and ministry. I'll read it for you. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 15. Paul says this. For the love of Christ, it controls us. Some versions say it compels us. In other words, it moves me forward, drives me forward, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live life for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. The love of God, it overflows into a life of mission. And so if I can recap the parable of the talents, that there was a wealthy man, a master, and he gave his servants talents to go and make a kingdom profit for him. A talent was a sum of money. It was equivalent to 20 years' wages. And so he gave one man five talents. That's 100 years' wages. One thing this should clue off to you, how wealthy is God? Like there is no lack with God. And he gives one servant five talents, one servant two talents, and one servant one talent. And they're expected to go make a profit with the master's money or his talents. And so after a series of time, they were waiting, and two were faithful to make a profit and one was not. And so we read that the one who had five talents, he multiplied and made five more. And then the one who had made two talents, he too doubled it and made two more. And the master is going to say this. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And then these words that really resonated in my heart this week. He says, enter into your master's joy. I mean, I just want you to think about hearing those words. As you are making a kingdom profit with your life, that you one day will hear these words, oh, enter into your master's joy. It's like, I feel like we get a glimpse or just, we can just get the fringe of what this will be like. Like, I don't know if you're like me. Listen, I had the chance to make millions of dollars playing in the NHL. And so that was fun and that was great. But you know, it's so funny, playing hockey, you know where the greatest joy came for me is when my dad just said, son, I'm so proud of you. Like for all the making money and that stuff, man, the enter in to your father's joy, there's just nothing like it. I'm reminded of the testimony or the story of Guy Fieri, you know, the Food Network star, and Guy tells the story of the first meal he ever cooked, that he cooked a steak for his dad. And as he cooked this steak up, his dad bit into that steak. And then he said his dad looked at his son and he told him after eating it, he says, son, that might be the greatest steak I've ever eaten in my life. And Guy's going to say, like, that's like rocket fuel for him. And it launched him off into his cooking career. Why? There's something about entering into our father's joy. But there is one other servant, one that did nothing with what the master had given him. He took it, buried it in the ground. And when the master returned, he dug it up and he gave the dirty talent back to him. And the master had some very startling, harsh words for him. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. And so we really have this choice. Are you going to hear the words, you wicked, lazy servant? Or are you going to enter into God's mission and purpose for your life? And you hear, enter into your master's joy. Listen, it doesn't matter if you've been given 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, whatever it might be. It's what are you doing with the talents, the gifts, skills, opportunities, resources, time, all these things. What are you doing? They're God's gift, his talents to you, and how are you using them? Like, I heard the coolest story of a man by the name of Bo Eason. And Bo Eason is a 9-year-old boy. He had this dream. He goes, I know exactly what I want to do. I want to play in the NFL one day. The only problem was Bo in high school was 5 feet tall and weighed less than 100 pounds. And so his high school coach says, you're way too small. And when he returned home dejected, he told his father, he says, Dad, the coach said I'm too small. And then his dad very matter-of-factly responded to him, well, did he ask how big your heart was? He said, son, come here. I'm going to tell you a story. And he began to tell his young son the story. His dad was a former rancher. And he said, son, there's nothing more valuable to a rancher than the rancher's dog. The ranching dog, he does the work of 10 men. And so he says, when the ranch dog has puppies, he says, here's what the rancher will do. He'll find the smallest puppy, the runt, and he'll tie a string onto the runt's paw. And then as the dogs grow up, he'll sell or give away all the other ranch dogs except for the runt. He says, son, the rancher always keeps the runt of the litter. Here's why, is because he's had to work harder. He's had to be smarter just to survive. And he says, now all that work and all that energy has made them better than the other shepherding dogs. And so this rancher is betting his livelihood on the fact that the runt of the litter is going to make a difference. And how crazy is it that Jesus Christ, as he ascended into heaven, and now he entrusts us with his great mission of gathering people from the four corners of the earth, people called by his name, that we would fulfill his great mission. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, it's known as the Great Commission, and Jesus says this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so, listen, Bo Eason, he made it to the NFL. And I wanted you to know this, is that you are going to fulfill God's mission for your life, that God's called you to go to all the world and make disciples. And I believe you're going to do that. And it begins right here in 2021, that we live our life on God's mission. And then here's the third parable. So we got love God, live on mission. And then the last one is love people. And I believe we see this in the parable of the sheep and goats. It's found in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. We won't read it, but I'll recap it for you. But I will read to you Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, because I think it's important to understanding the parable of the sheep and the goats. And the prophet Ezekiel says this. He says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." That when we become followers of Christ, that Almighty God Himself, He gives us a new heart. He removes the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. So I believe it was Tim Keller who said this, that the gospel story is the story that all other stories point to. And I believe if you pay attention to the movies that you watch and the stories you enjoy, that it sounds an awful lot like the gospel. Like every romantic comedy that you ever watched, you know, it's the same story over and over. And it's this, that in the end, love's going to win. Do you know that every action and adventure film, do you know it's the same story over and over again? And here's what we know, that in the end, good will triumph over evil. That even every drama, that we know this, that it's the same movie over and over again. And in the end, we know this, that tears and sorrow will one time give way to peace and joy. It is the gospel story. And so I watched a Christmas movie for the first time this Christmas. I'm not sure how many of you have seen it, but it's called Last Christmas. It actually stars Emilia Clarke. Some of you might know her from the Game of Thrones, the Queen of Dragons. And so this movie, Last Christmas, I couldn't help but think this sounds an awful lot like the gospel. And so it's the story of young Emilia, which, by the way, for those of you that haven't seen it, I'm about to wreck the movie for you. All right. I won't fully wreck it, but I'm kind of going to wreck it. Okay. And Emilia Clarke's character, that as a young girl, she needs a heart transplant. And so she's rushed into the hospital and she's given a new heart. But from that moment moving forward, she says she feels like something was ripped from her rather than given to her. And she kind of spirals downward into a life of narcissism, just me and mine. And she begins to alienate herself from her family and friends until she's all alone, until somehow there's this shift. And the heart that was given to her was a heart from a man who loved the poor and loved people. And as she began to give way to these new feelings in her heart, she began to pour out her life, serve the poor, make amends for past mistakes, and begin to help people. But as she poured out her life, she began to find life. Until at the end of the movie, she's surrounded with a room full of friends and family, and there's just all this peace and love. And I read this, as I was watching this, I was like, goodness sakes, this sounds awfully familiar to me. That do you know that God says that if you love your life, if you love it, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll find it. And we know this, that we too have been given a new heart. And our new heart, it encourages us, it compels us to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And listen, God loves people. And so we get the parable of the sheep and the goats found in Matthew 25, 31 to 40. And it's really the great day of judgment when the Lord returns. And he says this, "I'm going to divide people into two groups, the sheep, which is God's people, and the goats, which is everybody else." And then the Lord will say this to his sheep, to his people. He's going to say this, I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. He says, I was naked and you clothed me. And then the people, the sheep, God's people are going to say, Lord, when did we do this? When did we do this? They weren't even aware that they were doing this to Jesus. And they said this in Matthew 25:40, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And so listen, God's people have God's heart, and God's heart is to love people. And we see this, that when we love people, we're actually loving Jesus. The great Mother Teresa, her gave her life to caring for the poor, the poorest of poor, and the needy. And at one point she was interviewed and asked how she was able to give her life up for the poor and the needy and the broken. And here's what she said, and she referenced Matthew 25, this parable. And she says this, she says, first, I meditate on Jesus. And she says, then I go out into the world and look for him in disguise. That when you see the needy, the broken, the hurting, we know that that's Jesus in disguise, and it's our opportunity to love people well. That we're to love what God loves and hate what he hates. And so listen, this is where we're going for the next 3 months, that we are going to be a people, disciples of Jesus Christ, those that love God, love people, and live on mission. It is the Purpose Trilogy, and it is God's plan for your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, we just thank you for now for a new year. Lord, as we enter in, thank you, Lord, we just forget what's behind and we strain towards what's ahead. And Lord, I'm praying specifically for men and women, Lord, watching this broadcast now. Oh, Lord God, that you would help them to love you well. Oh, God, I pray that as they make a step to make time to cultivate their relationship with you, Lord, you would meet with them. Lord, I pray for those that struggle in loving people. God, that your heartbeat would begin to grow in their heart and there would be a newfound empathy and compassion for hurting people. And then lastly, Lord, may you stir and stoke into flame the fire of your mission on the earth. And so, Lord, we thank you that you would do us. Lord, I pray a blessing over us as a people as we enter into 2021 in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, Every Nation, two quick reminders, because we continue to serve you, though we might not be meeting together due to the social distancing and whatnot. But I wanted you to know this, that if you need prayer, that you can join our virtual prayer call this morning at 11 a.m. On our Facebook live feed, where you can pray with a virtual prayer counselor. Or if you'd like to meet a pastor on staff, maybe you have questions about the message or questions about our church, or you just like a pastor to pray over you, you can join us in our virtual prayer call. We just call virtual hospitality. The Zoom number will appear on your screen shortly, and we would love to meet with you and pray for you. And so listen, Every Nation, God bless you. God loves you and has a great plan for your life, and I think you're pretty amazing too.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.